I'm Lieutenant Joe Pangaro. I've been a cop for 27 years. I like to say I got a backstage pass to life. Well, guess what? I got some tickets for you. So come on in, pull up a chair, turn up that volume, and let's go. Chasing Justice is on.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to Chasing Justice here on the America Out Loud Radio Network. I'm your host, Lieutenant Joe Pangaro, and I have to tell you, we had a great time last week with our group of fellas in the neighborhood. We had our game show. I heard from so many of you with emails. It was fantastic, and I'm so happy you enjoyed that game show. You know, pin the tail on the liberal. We were just trying to have a little bit of fun. So I decided that normally I do a monologue to open up, and I like to talk about the things of the day and see what's going on. But I said, we had such a good time last week. I'm going to bring back the fellas in the neighborhood for all three sessions today so that we can talk about things. So with us today, we have Big Bill Dallas, our man of faith. Bill, how are you?
I'm doing great, Joe. Thanks for having me back.
Great.
I'm enjoying it.
Well, we love having you here, Bill, even though you were praying during the game and you got some extra help, according to, I think Jack said that.
That's what we always got to do.
And sitting here to my right, always on the right, is Jim, the contrarian Giordano.
Jim, how are you? I didn't know where Jack is. Mr.
Well, I think he heard we were going to do something today, and you were going to show us your blazing intellect, and he was afraid maybe to stand here. I don't know. You think that's right? Isn't that what you said about him before?
What? He has a blazing intellect?
No, that he thought he was afraid of your blazing intellect.
Oh, of course. He always is.
Maybe he was afraid that you just look really good in the tinfoil hat, and he didn't want to come in and look bad again.
Potentially.
I think he just realized that all of his answers had nothing to do with NASCAR.
Wow, so you're ganging up on Jack, who's
he's not here.
Oh, because he's not here. Well, Jack, I want you to know I'm going to do my best to defend you between your two partners here in the neighborhood. All right, so let's gather around the campfire, boys, and let's talk a little bit what's going on. We've had a very event-filled couple of weeks with what's going on in our country. First thing I want to talk about, though, is this is the third anniversary of America Out Loud as a radio station. It is a voice for freedom. It's a voice for people can say their opinions. You can come across with just about anything you want to say here. It's a real bastion of free speech. And I want to say thank you very much to Malcolm Out Loud and for everybody in America Out Loud for letting me have a voice and talk to everybody in America. And gents, bringing you guys in, we thought it would be a once-in-a-while thing, the neighborhood thing, and really, you become very popular. People like you. They like your opinions. And I just wanted to give you an opportunity to talk about the anniversary. What do you think about the anniversary?
Let me just say one thing. I have never had as much fun talking about serious things than anything I've ever done before. And this is one great show. And I'm just glad to be a part of it. And by the way, congratulations, Malcolm.
Yep, Malcolm. Jambo?
Well, you know, Bill took the words out of my mouth.
That's good. I had to go first.
I thank you, Joe. I thank Malcolm. I enjoy doing this, and that's what it's about. I come here when you ask me to do the show, and I just enjoy doing it.
Yep, and it's great, and everybody out there, you know I've said this before, the availability we have of a microphone that is not just nationwide, but America Out Loud is a network that goes around the world. We actually circle the globe with our opinions, which, when I think of some of the opinions you guys have, I'm a little concerned about that. You know, my opinions I'm not so worried about. But the bottom line is this station provides a voice of free speech, of opinions, and opportunities to talk about what we think, what real people think is important around the world. All you need is a computer to listen in to America Out Loud. And that was Malcolm's brilliant idea. And the guy really is brilliant. If you listen to his show, Viewpoint, you listen to anything he becomes a part of, he really is a tremendous guy. And from all of us here in the neighborhood, Malcolm, thank you very, very much for this opportunity. And to everybody out there in America and the rest of the world that are listening, thank you for listening to Chasing Justice. And for our fellas here in the neighborhood, we really appreciate it.
Hear, hear.
Yeah.
So, that being said, I do want to say we did hear from a lot of people who listened to our game show last week, and they found it really funny, and that's really part of what we're trying to do. Chasing Justice, the world is a serious place. There are a lot of very serious things going on, and we talk about them. It becomes, for most of us on talk radio and the listeners, we're involved with this stuff. We pay attention. We watch the news. It's part of what we do. And it can become overwhelming sometimes. And it can get really, really heavy, especially when it's not going the way you want. So that's why we like to bring in some fun, the Mighty Chasing Justice players and the game shows, etc., etc. But the last couple of weeks, I think we have to say, for those of us who are on the right, we've had a good couple of weeks. It hasn't been terrible. We saw that President Trump, the Mueller report came in. So, Jim, let me ask you about that, the Mueller report. It came in saying that he did not collude. There was no collusion whatsoever. And he left the question of obstruction open to the Justice Department. So, of course, our friends on the left have jumped on that and said, oh, he left it to them, and of course they're lying. Do you think Bill Barr is lying? And how come Mueller hasn't jumped up and said, no, he's lying? What do you think?
It's a rhetorical question, because my answer is, and everybody knows I'm relatively conservative, the news media now, they're proposing that, okay, there wasn't a definitive there. There is a definitive. If there's no collusion, how can you have obstruction? The whole thing is insane. It really is. And they're still on it. They are not letting it go.
Right. Well, it's their thing. It's all they have. Bill, what do you think?
It's exactly right, Joe. That's all the left has, is if all the truth came out and everyone really understood what the truth is, the media would have nothing to write about. This is their bread and butter. As long as there's controversy, they're making money. They're selling papers. They're selling magazines. They're selling airtime.
That's really what it's all about. Bill, I think that these people have an agenda. They're selling the agenda, and they're getting scared. I don't know why they're selling this agenda, because maybe, you know something? You're on the left side of the aisle. You are an elite. You get different justice system. You get perks. People who are the left side of the aisle, they have advantages that people like you and me do not have. But you know something? We're getting older. I don't care. What is right is right. And that's what they don't understand. So basically, they're selling this all. That's how I see it.
They have this sense of entitlement, that they're owed a little extra justice. And it's not exactly justice. I'm putting that air quotes around the word justice. And it's not what we would consider just. It's just that they're getting away with so much more than the average person would get away with.
And I think what I've seen all along, and I go back to the Reagan era, and I remember how they treated Ronald Reagan and how the media became so powerful. The media used to report the facts. Now, I think they were always off to the left, but they mostly reported the facts. They reported both sides, even if they took a spin to one side or the other. Now, they're not really reporting both sides. They're reporting their talking points that come directly from the Democrat Party, which, that's fine. Just come out and say that. I have a point of view, and I tell you my point of view. We all have our point of view. I see a lot of people on the right who are commentators, not reporters. There's a difference. A commentator has a personal point of view, and they comment on their personal point of view. A reporter should tell you, I showed up at the corner of Fifth and Main today, and there was a car accident. A red car hit a blue car. When I looked at the scene, I asked the officers and the people that were there, and I said, the red car ran through the red light and caused an accident. That's what seems to happen. But if I really like the blue car, and I come up with a concocted story to make that guy innocent, then I'm not really reporting. And that's unfortunately what we see the media doing today. Mm-hmm. And when people say it's fake news, it's because they're slanting the news coverage under the guise of being independent and telling you what happened, to actually being commentators. So it's all skewed into a corner, and it's not good for any of us.
Joe, I had an observation. They had one of the local newspapers in New Jersey. They had five children, middle school age, give their comments about President Trump and the current state of politics. Every one of those five children, they read the CNN, you know, the lines underneath the CNN.
The scroll.
The scroll. They read the Democratic talking points word for word. Well, he's a racist. Well, and one of them even said, I remember looking at the TV and I saw that line, he's a racist. He doesn't like Mexicans. Where do you get that?
Well,
they get it from the media.
The media is portraying their message. What do I say all the time? When I do interview interrogation techniques and I teach police officers how to do that, when you do that or when you testify in court, there's a way that you send out a message. Communication between human beings is what every single one of us does. So when you're in a position like the media, they're going to tell us what they want us to know. You can form any message you want, and you depends on how you give that message is how people are going to receive it. So they send that out, that it's a foregone conclusion. Trump is a racist. He is a guy who hates women. He's a guy who hates anybody who's not him. He likes the neo-Nazis. When that becomes, there's no question about this. This is real. This is reality. And every story follows that line. Then eventually people who are watching this media are going to pick that up. And they're going to say, well, what do you know about Trump? Well, I know he's a racist and I know he likes the neo-Nazis. Because that's what they hear on the news. Mm-hmm. Is any of that true? I think the Wall Street Journal put out an article today that I was reading. It was very interesting, where the reporter went out and he looked at the comments that Trump made when the Charlottesville incident took place, and he said that there was good people on both sides. And of course, the media ran with that and said what he was saying, that, well, the neo-Nazis are good, and so are the people who are protesting the neo-Nazis. That's not what he said.
Exactly.
He specifically said what he was talking about with the good people on both sides of the argument were the people who wanted to keep the statues and people who wanted to get rid of the statues. He said both people are good people. He goes, I'm not talking about the neo-Nazis or the white supremacists. They should be condemned completely. He said that. The media cut that out, and now every one of these talking heads on the left runs with, well, Trump said they're good people on both sides,
because
even the Nazis.
Because they found one neo-Nazi or a few neo-Nazis who were part of that set of people who were objecting to the statues. And that's what I get upset about. Every single time there's an issue, the left goes out there and they find some wackadoo. Neo-Nazi, KKK type of guy who happens to agree for the reasons that we disagree with. But they happen to be on our side of the aisle when it comes to this issue. That's what the media focuses on.
And they try and paint everyone on the right with the neo-Nazi belief, which no one believes. I think you go lock them all up. You know, a thing came out today that there's this training for these white supremacist right-wing nuts across the country. You know what I say? Embed people in there, find out who they are, lock them up, and put them in prison. We don't need that in America.
No, we don't.
We don't need that nonsense. Go get them. I'm not opposed to that. And I think anybody on the right who is a true American doesn't want any of that nonsense.
A true person on the right. We are one America. We are one people. Race is irrelevant. I won't say culture is irrelevant. We could talk about that at some other time. But we are one people. And our belief is in liberty and justice.
Right. And justice is blind. And yes. I don't care who you are, where you're from, what community. If you believe in the core principles of America, then you're my brother and my sister. You're an American. There is no white American, black American, Chinese American. There's Americans. All of us are Americans if we believe in freedom and justice and everyone having an opportunity to get ahead. How wonderful. And this is where, you know, and I know on the right they make jokes about this diversity stuff. There's nothing wrong with diversity. I find it amazing to go to a community that I'm not part of and see what they do for their holidays, to see what they do for their family time, to see what they do for their eating and how the different kind of foods. I love it all. I would like to explore all of that because we're all American. We could bring that stuff to the table. But our friends on the left talk about it as, well, you hate this one and you hate that one and this one. Why don't you calm down? That's why we're not getting along. Who are these people on the left that are running for president? And I'm not going to mention a specific name, but they all say if they are elected, they're going to bring us all together. How are they going to bring us together when they want socialism and they want to move in that direction? How are they going to convince me that my freedoms and liberties should be curtailed to go towards the socialism? And that's going to bring us together.
They want to divide us, Joe. That's what it's all about. Dividing us, divide and conquer, because they want to become an elite society, and America is a melting pot. We love all the positiveness of all those cultures that are coming into this country legally.
Right.
And I'm going back not just contemporarily, but I'm going back to the early 1900s or the 1800s when the Irish came, the Italians came, Chinese. The Germans came in the early 1800s. You want to know something? All those cultures came in, and all those cultures added to the American dream, built upon a principle of liberty, freedom, and justice.
Right. That's what I'm saying. We all have something to offer, and it's great if we can offer it to each other.
It would be nice if we still had that, but it's a dream now. I mean, the left has taken things so far to the left that we can't even get obvious things right. I mean, look at Jesse Smollett. I mean, there was an obvious case. Now, he even hired these two guys that, and with all these racial slurs and things like what you guys were just talking about, calling him, he was part of this and part of that, and it turned out, hey, he hired these guys. And then when he gets hauled in the court, the judge dismisses everything.
Oh, wow.
And he gets away with it.
Don't even go there because it's a two-tiered system.
Okay.
And this is the problem that you and I and Joe have with what's going on. It's a two-tiered system. The left gets a pass. But if you have your beliefs and my beliefs, you want to know something? They're going to bury you. Just like the Tea Party got buried by the IRS, OSHA. It's ridiculous.
Well,
and but let me just jump on there because I know I had written an article for America Out Loud about Jesse Smollett and the investigation, which you can still find if you go on the AmericaOutLoud.com website and you look up Chasing Justice. You'll see my articles on there. And I was using a criminal investigator's point of view when I wrote that article, just based on what happened here. What we saw in that courtroom, and I saw the police chief and the mayor, Rahm Emanuel, who's as far left and radical as you can get, he was shocked that this prosecutor did
that. That was a cover.
Well, it might be a cover, Jim, but his words that he used were one thing. And the police chief came out and felt betrayed because I thought that police chief was doing the right thing for America. He wasn't doing the right thing as an African-American police chief or he was coming out and saying what this kid did was wrong. To attack people, to make up an attack like that on the African-American community where we know these things are so sensitive. The use of a noose is so painful to that our brother and sisters in the African-American community. The fact that this kid used that as a way to rile things up, that in itself is horrific. And this prosecutor dropped these charges, and there's some kind of crazy thing going on behind the scenes that she did this. And it seems very, very corrupt. How has that helped anything? Now the kid comes out and goes, see, I was clear all along. I didn't do it. He's not even saying, I'm sorry what I did. So, ladies and gentlemen, we got going here, right? On our first segment here. This is really good. And I want to thank Bill and Jim because you guys always bring stuff to the table. Your opinions matter. I find them important. And I think Chasing Justice benefits from having you here. So, ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back in a minute with round two. And we'll bring the neighborhood fellows back because they're not done yet, I can tell.
The goal is to deliver a message of truth, inspiration, and hope to the world, to unite people from all backgrounds and beliefs in an effort to advance humanity. News blogs, informative podcasts, and entertaining videos. It's AmericaOutLoud.com, where the conversation never ends. With 24/7 streaming on our free apps on both Android and Apple. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Chasing Justice here on round two. I got the gentleman in the neighborhood with me, Bill, our man of faith, Dallas, and Jim, the contrarian, Giordano. We were really going at it in the last segment. I think we had a lot of important things to say, and I hope that people out there that are listening, you find things that each one of us say probably matches what you're thinking and feeling, but you can always reach out at jpangaro@americaoutloud.com. That's where a lot of you reach me. You can send me an email. You can talk about stuff. We're going to have a live segment pretty soon. We're going to take calls, so that's going to be interesting because I want to hear your point of view. I want to talk about my sponsors here a little bit. You know, we've talked about my company, True Security Design. And you can find us at www.truesecuritydesign.com. What we do is we provide safety and security training for businesses, schools, and for law enforcement. We do threat assessments. All right, so we go in and we will assess your facility and see if we can find your security gaps, where they are in your building, and then we provide a nice roadmap for remediation so you can close up them gaps so people can't come and get you and hurt you where you live. All right, the other thing that we're doing now, which is new, is a student threat assessment. This is where we go in and we train a team of people in your school or in your workplace how to spot potential threats and then intervene with whoever that person is before they erupt into violence. So True Security Design, we're out here to help you out. Take a look. We go anywhere in the country. You can reach us anywhere. All our contact is on that website, truesecuritydesign.com. Now, an interesting thing that's been going on. Disrupt Ed TV, which is disrupt-edtv.com. This is a television network that was put together on the Jersey Shore, and it's for teachers. All the programs are about teaching principals and teachers in the classroom, kindergarten and fourth grade, how to teach children in a better way in a modern world. And you have some tremendous people on there that are unbelievably skilled in what they do in providing educational benefits to kids. Well, I was contacted by them a couple of months ago, and they asked me if I could do a TV show about school safety and security, because that's what I'm all about. So we created the TV show, Hope is Not a Tactic. So if you go to www.disrupt-edtv.com and you look up under the School Safety and Security tab, you'll find my show, Hope is Not a Tactic. So far, I've interviewed lots and lots of different people with different points of view for school safety and security, including Michelle Gay. Michelle is a mom who lost her daughter in the Sandy Hook shooting, and she has made it her life's mission to keep schools safe and secure. So you can see that episode on there. We had Frank DeAngelis. Frank was the principal of Columbine High School when it was attacked so many years ago, and that anniversary is coming up. So everyone's expecting that there'll be a lot of attention to Columbine and what happened there. You know, the number one thing searched on the internet when it comes to school safety and security is Columbine. There's tons and tons of kids still looking at that Columbine. And some of these kids are kids who have planned and followed through with attacks on their schools. They're all trying to beat those numbers. So this is an important thing. So recently, Disrupt Ed TV has asked me to be a part of a group that we're creating within Disrupt Ed TV to help schools stay safe and secure. And we're creating a brand new repository of all information about school safety and security that'll be available to everybody across the country free of charge. This is called the American Center for School Safety. So this is going to be a web-based situation where you can go on, you can get printed material, you can get training. We're going to come out and train people in your district. It doesn't matter where it is. We'll come out and help you do it. We're going to talk about threat assessments, student threat assessments, what you can do in your buildings, everything for safety and security. And we were honored just yesterday that United States Congressman Christopher Smith from New Jersey came to our office at Disrupt Ed TV and sat down with us. And Christopher is very, very concerned with school safety and security, as well as another one of his real important topics is human trafficking. And they really do kind of go together because there are tons and tons of people in our system that are here because they've been brought here against their will. We talk about, and the guys in the neighborhood are going to talk in a minute, I'm sure, about the caravans that are coming up trying to get into America. Well, a lot of those people are brought here inappropriately through human trafficking. Chris Smith is really a good and decent man. And he came in to talk to us about how he can help us move the American Center for School Safety ahead. So go to disruptedtv.com, take a look there, see what's going on. You'll see the website for the American Center for School Safety. It's just getting up and running, and how you can support it and help it in your community. So I want to thank everybody for giving me a minute to talk about those things. Gentlemen, welcome back to the campfire here.
Oh, thank you, Jeff.
Good to be back, Joe.
All right, so Jim, you were saying on the break, you and Bill were really going at it, and you felt you cut him off or something. What were you saying?
You know, I don't know what to say, but yes, on the break, I was telling Bill, I apologize for cutting him off, because Bill has so many good things to say, the man of faith, And I just happen to at times get on a roll. And when I get on a roll, I want to make my point made. Sorry, Bill.
Well, as a good Christian man, my man of faith tagline, I have no choice but to say, you know, I forgive you.
Are you sure you don't want to tar and feather me?
Well, wait until you're not here. The way you two guys treat Jack,
again, he's you'll be coming after him. You know, he's the contrarian. I can't even finish the sentence before he starts interrupting me.
That's correct. Go ahead,
and you guys out there can't hear him interrupt me, but he's got a very big finger that he points right in my face saying, shut up, I'm going next.
And he holds up a note and says, nobody cares what you're saying, Bill. It's terrible. It's terrible. I gave Jim a timeout one time. We had to redo the entire segment because he got a timeout. But in reality, I want to thank you, Jim, because you know what? Your points of view are important. And that's the whole idea of this free and open ability to talk to each other, is that we get caught up in a moment when you feel something and you want to say something. So we do it. But it's very nice of you to jump in there and apologize to build a man of faith. Not that he'll remember it in 10 minutes from now. He has some issues there, but that's okay. But he did say that he was accepting your apology, and I appreciate that. So we're trying to help him. All right, so fellas, we want to move along here a little bit.
Jack interrupts us more than anybody else. Bill, wouldn't you agree with that?
I would have to say so, but, you know, he has a lot of great NASCAR comments, but really, where is all his so-called knowledgeable political comments and comments of the day. Yeah. His
Okay, thing. I'm going to jump in here now, and I'm going to slap Jim and slap Bill right in the face. Because, gentlemen, you will not attack my friend who is not here. Have the guts to attack him when he's sitting in this chair here and he can defend himself appropriately. First of all, Jack has some excellent political points of view, which actually people have written to me and want to know, hey, why don't you let Jack host once in a while and let him run the show? Which, you know, I was a little taken aback by that. It's one of the reasons he's not here this week.
He has a great radio voice.
He does have a great radio voice. And Jack is a very, very smart man. He's always been that guy. So let's not attack my friend. I told you I wouldn't let you do it.
Well, he's our friend too. And we wouldn't be saying this if we didn't love him.
Well, then we'll see if you say it next week, Bill, when he's sitting here next to you. Tough guys. All right. So we see this week that President Trump has said that apparently there's the mother of all caravans now amassing in Honduras, and they're moving through the Central American states. They're coming through Mexico. The president seems to be very upset with the Mexican authorities, who have unbelievably strong immigration laws, and they're just letting these caravans come on through, head on up to America. And he said he's going to cut off the funds to Mexico and Guatemala, Nicaragua, all these countries. He's going to cut the money off to them. And, of course, some of the politicians go, that money is needed because it's about our relationships. What do we think about him cutting that money off? Is that a good idea?
I think it is. I think he should have done it a long time ago. I think he should close the borders, which he says he's going to do. And he'll do it before the end of the week, supposedly. But I don't think that he's going to get good press on it, except from maybe one source. But, you know, if he closes the borders, that's going to cause a maelstrom of all sorts of kickback from the left. And rightly so. I think that it's about time that people start opening up, you know, on the right, saying, hey, you know, things are not right. I don't think the right has been speaking up as loud as the left. And there's so many reasons why I can't even begin to spew out all the adjectives I want to use.
Right, and I think you're right. The right, those of us on the right, we don't go to march. When's the last big right march you heard of?
That's because we're working, Jeff.
We're working, we're busy with our lives. But the reality is, maybe we need to learn something from our friends on the left. We have legitimate grievances about where our country's going and how it's going. Maybe it's time that we do a mass. I think September's a nice month for all of us to show up in Washington and voice our opinions.
At some point, it's going to happen, because you want something, everybody's going to be fed up with what's happening.
People are fed up now.
It's getting close.
They're not.
It is getting close.
Okay.
So let me ask you a question, Jim. What the money that we give to these countries, that we give foreign aid to lots and lots of countries, is for our strategic benefit here in America. We give money to these different countries so that they can have better security. They can do programs in their country that help their people so that they don't leave and come here to us. So on the left, I know they're immediately, like you said, Bill, they're starting to scream, if you cut that money off, you're going to cause even more problems. And this is, of course, immediately they attack the Americans. Once we shut down that border, and he said he's going to shut it down completely, all the businesses on the American side that need supplies from Mexico, a lot of Mexican restaurants, a lot of Mexican bodega type stores, all of these places that get supplies from Mexico will not be able to get them. And these American businesses are going to really be in a bad position. And they're going, look what he's going to do to them. Of course he's going to, if I owned that business, I'd be upset. What do you think? Is that something, how do we work that economic thing out?
It's not about race. It's about a culture. Give me your tired, your poor, yearning to be free. That yearning to be free is the operative word. And it doesn't matter where you come from. Yearning to be free. If you come to this country, you need to yearn to be free. If you come to this country, you don't have that mentality, you don't belong here. I don't care what race, what color you are. And unfortunately, the country, where America goes, the world is going to go. Let's face it. We are a country built upon an ideal.
Mm-hmm.
If that doesn't happen, and if America gets subverted, the world will go with it.
Okay, so, and my question, though, is what about those businesses on the American side of the border that are going to suffer now? Is that something that they should accept because the border needs to be closed? Why don't we take that money that we're going to give to these countries and go to those American businesses and go, we're going to subsidize you for the time the border's closed? Mm-hmm. Is that something we could do so that these businesses don't go under?
It is a good idea.
There's a lot of restaurants and stuff, things that use a lot of Mexican products.
They're here, and they're serving.
But, I mean, if they can't get their products from Mexico, because closing the border means no trade either way. Nothing comes and goes. So that's the point. These American businesses are going to suffer. They can't get the supplies they need to run their business.
They have to find new sources. That's all. That's all it is. I work in a business that if one source of supply is unable to supply my company, we get it from another supplier. It's all about, you know, who's got the best deal? Not always. You know, it's always about...
So you're saying you think that the left is going to use that as a game to just start smacking him the minute he closes the border. Look at all these people who are now out of work and out of business. Because they're going to lay people off if they don't have supply.
Of course they are. But you have to remember something else, too. We don't just supply funds for countries when they need money to help their people in the normal things of the day. All the emergencies, when people are having floods and hurricanes and things get destroyed, who's the first one that jumps in to supply aid and relief? The United States. And they always put the biggest bill, too.
And they do. And you know what? I'm proud of that.
I am
because
too.
You know what? We're supposed to help people. You know, we're supposed to jump in and help people. I just don't know what to think about these arguments. And so why does it matter what the left says?
Well, it's because they got the biggest mouth.
Ah, they got the media.
Yeah.
So people will wilt to that pressure is what you're saying.
Yeah. And that's the problem, too. And I'm not ashamed to say it. Fox News is probably the only network that really does support the president.
To a certain extent, though.
All right, so what's how much of an extent is there? What are you talking about?
Well, let me tell you something.
What other network will actually...
Under the oppression of... Let me tell you something. The two-tiered system. Four companies own the entire news network. There's one company, Fox News, that doesn't succumb to the pressure. The pressure of globalism, because you know something, globalism is going to be what they're pushing for.
They're pushing for socialism.
Now, you want to know something? They're pushing for a lot of things.
Well,
how about the destruction of humanity?
That's wow. So now you're going, is that really the purpose? Is the purpose of the left to destroy everything, or is it really just control? They want control and power, which I have said, if you read any of my articles, when I go round and round, the default position of humanity is to live under tyranny. We live under the strong man, and in the modern world, the strong woman, whoever controls us. And, you know, liberty and justice is not easy. It requires you to feed yourself. It requires you to provide your own shelter. It requires you to take chances that in other places you don't necessarily have to do.
I think the left would be happy to destroy everything so that they can rebuild it up in their own image.
And what is that image, Bill?
The image is total control of the media, total control of the government. Socialism.
To control the people.
The people.
And we just do it.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, I got to tell you, that was, I don't know where to go with that, but I think closing the border is a good idea.
I do,
because
too.
You have to regain control down there. You have so many people coming in. They said the beds are filled. We don't have any more place for people. The courts are letting everyone go, and they're just filtering into the country, good, bad, and indifferent. And we have said, all of us have said a million times, if I was a man living in one of those countries and there was no jobs, there was no opportunity for my family, I would want to come here too. I understand that. I understand that drive. That's the drive to go live in freedom, Jim. And I get it. But that doesn't mean that we can absorb everyone. We can't save everyone. And I know that's a horrible thing, but what are we supposed to do?
Let me ask you something. If you were really in that situation, knowing that you've got all of this in front of you, all these caravans, these thousands of people way ahead of you, and you got miles and miles to go, would you want to go in that direction, or would you want to go to another country where they're not being inundated with people who are seeking jobs? All you want to do is support your family, if that's the real reason you're there, and that you're not there to be against our country, but you just want to support your family. So go to another country.
I don't want to interrupt. I have 10 seconds now. It's not about that, because America is not as free as it used to be. Honduras, Nicaragua, most of them are just as free as we are, because we're a socialist country. These people want to come here to live off the dole.
We're a socialist country? Where'd that come from?
We're a socialist country. Face it, Bill. If you haven't faced it, you need to get awakened.
That's an important point of view. Jim the Contrarian, he says we are now a socialist America. America with a K. Ladies and gentlemen, we will be back for round three here on Chasing Justice. Throw another log on that fire here, because the neighborhood is heating up.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep, but it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount, or call 844-869-9958.
Ding, 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 ding. Round three here on Chasing Justice. Oh, we've got Bill, the Man of Faith Dallas here. We got Jim Giordano here, and I'm your host, Lieutenant Joe. I got to tell you, interesting show this week. We have a lot of topics going on, and we do miss our friend Rock and Roll Race Car Jack, who just couldn't be with us today. He had some other things going on. But at the end of the last segment, Jim, you made an interesting comment. You said America is a socialist country.
There was no doubt in it. Hey, there was fire behind
right,
those
so you
words.
Know what? And I'm sure you have some feelings of why that's the case. Just kind of fill me in. Why do you think it actually is a socialist country? Does the government own the means of production? That's the classic definition. How is it a socialist country?
Well, you have to look at the internet. They own Google. They own Facebook. Matter of fact, Facebook was the CIA plant. See, and it was called LifeLog. And when they dropped LifeLog, Facebook went on the stock market. They own pharmaceuticals. The government is so big, so massive, they control everything. If that's not socialism, but you know what? They call it something different. We're still a democracy. BS. We are not a democracy.
But what do you think? We are a republic.
We're not even that anymore.
All right. Well, who is they that you're talking about? Who's they? You said they own this, they own that. Who is they?
Is that the elite?
The elite.
The elite among
you're
us.
Putting
in
words
our country.
In his mouth.
I'm asking.
No,
questions.
No. You know,
because sometimes you know I'm an investigator and I feel what somebody's saying.
A few episodes, shows ago, you mentioned my conspiracy theory thoughts. And I'm not 100% sure on all of this, but, you know, the more and more I listen, the more and more I say, there is something wrong with this world. There really is.
I really believe that
this world is being controlled by some kind of it's influenced by some people of... they call themselves the elite. They call themselves the Illuminati. They call themselves all kinds of things. But you want to know something? How many years are we going to be fighting ourselves? How many years are we going to be dividing ourselves? How many years are we going to be destroying ourselves?
But is this what you call socialism?
Yes. Socialism is just one aspect of it.
And it seems to me that you're making a hybrid assumption, that it's not the classic socialism of the dictionary definition. You're saying that there are certain people who are controlling the major factions of the world, and the rest of us are simply bottom feeders off of what's left
what
over.
About, yes. What about the financial markets? It's controlled.
Are you talking about a George Soros kind of behind-the-scenes deep threat?
Yeah. Or is there a meeting somewhere where they all get together and say, okay, this week toilet paper is going to be $4.
The Bilderberg Group. You know, Trilateral Commission, all these people. And, you know, if you ever seen the Bilderberg Group, they have someone actually infiltrated the Bilderberg Group and saw their meeting. These are very famous, influential people. It is very, very strange. Don't tell me that's normal.
Well, let me jump in here. And I think when I listen to lots and lots of people, you included, my friend, I think many of us feel that things are not right. I think that's the overall feeling, that things are just not right. And when things don't feel right, we try and find a way to balance that. And how do we make it right? How do we understand? You know, when I was a little kid, we would hear a thunder and lightning storm. And as a kid, you were scared. You know, this thunder, and I didn't understand atmospheric conditions. I didn't understand hot, cold fronts and wolf moving in and creating all. I had no idea what it was. I was scared of the thunder and lightning. It was loud. It was booming. It affected my life. And my mother said to me, don't be afraid. That's just the angels bowling. And I said, what? She goes, that's the angels bowling, and that's the sound of the bowl. Now I knew bowling. Now I pictured the angels up there bowling, and that's what. And also, it took that fear away. So here was a problem that I saw that didn't seem right. Something wasn't right, and somebody gave me a good answer to it, and I felt comfortable, and I moved on from there. So I think you're not wrong. I think in a lot of my articles and a lot of the things I talk about, I don't feel that it's right. I feel this cold civil war coming, and I'm afraid that it's going to go into a hot civil war. I've looked at the world enough in history. History will tell us what's happening. And in history, we feel we're removed from the possibility of a hot civil war. We feel that could never happen here in America. You're not going to have tanks rolling in the street and people shooting each other. Except that's already happened. That has happened 160 years ago, 150 years, whatever the number is. We had the Northern Army against the Southern Army in America, rolling through towns, shooting and killing each other, blowing things up, burning cities to the very ground. It has already happened. So the reality is, it is a possibility. We, in our generation, just don't feel like it's possible for it to happen here. But it does feel like there's something wrong. Why don't people stand up for decency? Bill Man of Faith over there. Why don't all of us feel good about the fact that our country is a country of faith? When they do polls, they find 62% of people believe there's a God, believe there's a heaven. 87 people believe in God. Well, why doesn't that come out in the politics? We see polls that say 68% of Americans are very conservative, yet we see the liberal wing overrunning us, taking the Congress and doing all this crazy stuff. Mm. Why doesn't that happen? Something feels out of place.
I agree. Something is out of place. And it's the apathy that many people on the right, and Christians included, it's a matter of, oh, well, yeah, I see something wrong there, but somebody will take care of it. Somebody else will do the work. And it's never the person that thinks of what the problem is, unless they're, you know, really, really, you know, involved in something specific. If they have their own agenda, then they get involved. But if it's an overall thing about something political, well, my vote won't make a difference. Well, one vote certainly will make a difference, because one vote leads to another vote that leads to another vote. And before you know it, if they're not voting in the way that they're seeing their political views, then they've only got themselves to blame.
So, Bill, let me ask you, does that what you're talking about, that's another group of they?
Yeah.
Like you're saying, Jim, who's the they that's doing this?
Yes.
Who's the they that's not doing it? And we said early on that we're all busy working. That's why we don't march. We don't our friends on the left, they come up with a message, they stick to their message, and they will fight you to death with their message. On the right, we don't do that. We stab each other in the back. We take the politically expedient way. We look down the road and go, well, this is probably better if I say this or say.
I think that's a small percentage.
And that's, is that the freedom people giving up our freedom by not standing up and learning from our friends on the left? Is that what that is?
You say a lie enough times, the worse the lie, the better. And for those who don't know, Goebbels was Hitler's propaganda minister. And people will believe it. And you want to know something? Mm-hmm. I hate to say, this guy was right, because I can't imagine how many people believe the nonsense that the media is throwing at us.
Well, they do. I agree. Most people do believe it.
Listen to what Mark Twain says about a lie. That a lie can run around the world six times while the truth is still trying to put on its pants. And that may sound, you know, comical, but it's the truth. Right. You know, if you're not willing to stand up for what you believe in, then you deserve whatever you get.
Right. Now, I have to jump in here, because that's a great quote. And I think, you know, Jim, with conspiracies, you're more towards the end of seeing these things behind the curtain. I'm not. I'm not a conspiracy guy. I'm more of an Occam's razor guy. And yes, Kathy will say to me right now, you just like to say Occam's razor. And I do. I think it's cool.
I like to say Schroeder's cat.
I also like to say arugula. But these are some things I like. Occam's razor. When you look at something, it's usually the simplest answer is the truth. And when I came across that many years ago, to me, that made perfect sense, and I understood it. The simplest truth is really what it is. I think our friends on the left, and I've said, how many times have I said this? And Jim, you've even said to me that I go overboard to be friendly with the people on the left and understand them. I think they have the people have the best heart of doing the right thing. I think they get played by these they in the background who are trying to have a bigger agenda. I think our friends on the left, our family and our friends in the street who only want to do good things for people, only want to be fair, only want to be reasonable, they are being played just as the rest of us are being played. That's what makes the whole thing seem like it's off. It feels off to them and it feels off to us, because we are all being played by something. I just don't know what it is.
Joe, you're absolutely right. There's two segments of people on the left. There's the idealists. You want to know something? Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, she's idealistic. I don't despise her, even though she's wrong, because she wants what's best, and she sees something wrong
right
with the country. A lot of people who are voting for Bernie Sanders see something wrong with the country. They think that the answer is a left ideal.
A fairer turn, a nicer turn.
Exactly.
I get it.
I'm a conspiracy guy. I think there's something much more nefarious behind the left agenda.
And I think that's the default position of humanity. People want to control us. So listen, I'm going to ask you to take us a little bit of a turn here. The topic we've been trying to get on, excuse me, for three segments here, and we can't seem to get on it. We're going to get on it now. We have a lot of people running for president. We know Trump is running for president. And we're also going to have people on the left running for president. And one of them is probably going to be Vice President Joe Biden.
Ex-vice president.
Well, that's a title you carry with you for the. I'm a lieutenant. I'm retired, but I'm always lieutenant. And he's always Vice President Biden. That's who he is. And he is running. And I got to tell you, the controversy I see with him, first of all, he makes a lot of gaffes. And here's where Jim's point comes up, that on the left, you're not held accountable. There's two standards. If a Republican says potato has an E at the end, and it doesn't, we will hear about that for Dan Quayle for the rest. His obituary is going to say, the guy who spelled potato wrong. Meantime, President Obama said there was 58 states. Joe Biden said, three-letter word, J-O-B-S. You know, he told the guy who couldn't stand to stand up. He makes all kinds of these kind of gaffes, and he's never held to account for them. But he seems to be, in the polls, one of the leading person right now that the left would vote for. I don't know if that's going to hold strong, but Joe Biden, does he have a Me Too problem? I mean, you can't talk or look at somebody the wrong way today without being accused of doing the wrong thing. Have you seen all the videos on the internet? There's hundreds of them. Well, strike that. It's not hundreds. I don't want to oversay it. There are quite a few of Joe Biden touching people that seems very inappropriate. You see these young girls and they're cringing. They're moving away. He's trying to kiss people. Hold them. I give him the fact that in an older generation, they were more more touchy-feely with people. You know, how many times do you meet someone, you see them, you go up, and you give somebody a kiss on the cheek? Right, even if you don't know them that well. That's just a common courtesy thing that we do. It's part of our culture. It's getting kind of weird now. People don't want you to do that. But Joe Biden, I've seen little kids, little girls, like cringing as this guy's rubbing their shoulders and getting closer. What do you think, Bill?
I really haven't paid attention to Joe Biden ever since he left the White House. But when this came out, I thought, you know what? That he's not that stupid. But then I started looking around. And yeah, he's used a lot of blue language when the on an open mic. He's his over familiarity with the opposite sex has just been hasn't been exaggerated from what I'm finding out. This Lucy Flores, when she came out with this, I thought, well, now here we go, and we're going to have this whole big to do. But then I started looking, and what he did. Just this past Tuesday, when he snuggled up to the wife of the new Secretary of Defense, Ashton Carter, at Carter's White House swearing-in ceremony, he snuggled up to his wife. I mean, when you're talking about snuggle up, you think, you know, you and your grandkids are, you know, in bed reading a story. That's what comes to my mind. Not when you're putting your arms around somebody else's wife, just under their breast or are kissing the back of their heads, rubbing their shoulders. That's a little bit too familiar for me.
There was a woman who came out and said that when she had met him back in the day, and I wish I had her specific name. It was a report in the news the other day. And she said he came up behind her and he gave her a kiss on the back of her head. Now, she said, I just felt really uncomfortable with that. I mean, I don't know the man very well. And it's one thing when you meet, and I'll tell you, I meet lots and lots of people, and there's a certain age bracket where that is part of what goes on. People who are my age, I meet someone, I know you, I give you a peck on the cheek. I'm not groping anybody. I'm not rubbing your shoulders. I'm not grabbing you from behind around the waist and kissing you on the back of the head. It just seems that this is something that, but do you hear a word about it? Do you hear? Let's do an investigative story and see if Joe Biden is touching somebody the wrong way. Where is the Me Too group when a thing like this happens?
Yeah, it's unfortunate. But again, it goes back to the same old thing. The left is only going to report on something. Now, if Trump did that, wow, it would be over. It would be worldwide news.
For
3 years.
It wouldn't end. And you know what? I have a daughter. I have a wife. I don't want anybody touching them inappropriately. I don't touch people inappropriately. But here's this guy who seems to blatantly do these things. to the point that everybody jokes about it. But you're right. If it was Trump, there'd be no joke about it.
They call him Handsy Joe.
Handsy
and
Joe.
And Cuddly Uncle Joe.
Cuddly Uncle Joe.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you're right. They make fun of it. And that's where the horror of it, the scare tactic thing, it gets watered down.
Right.
You know? And before long, everybody says, oh, that's no big deal. But then the pictures that I saw on the internet of what he was doing in public, in White House functions, things like that.
Sure.
It was just
when I saw this young
amazing.
Girl cringing away from him, I said, if that was my daughter, I would probably have to step between the two. Mm. Now, he wasn't touching her sexually, but he was hands on her to the point he's trying to kiss her, and she's pulling her head away. It looks very uncomfortable for this kid. You know, I if it was my daughter, I'd have to step in between them.
I would too.
You know, we're running almost to the end of the show here.
Yeah, but let me, I just want to throw one last thing in.
Good.
It's worse than that. When Joe Biden goes to China working for as vice president for the American people under the Obama administration, he comes back and his son gets $1 billion from China in order to invest for China. Let me tell you something. This smacks to me as elitist cabal. This guy is not in it for the American people. This guy is in it for himself. This guy is selfish. He has no business being president of the United States, period.
Well, that's a lot of money. All right, well, fellas, listen, we're at the end of round three, and all three of these rounds went really quick today. I hope everybody out in Chasing Justice Land enjoyed it. Here's what we're going to do. We have an election coming up, and we have lots and lots of people that are running for president. So I think we should vet them ourselves and find out the truth, good and bad, because you know what? They're not all bad. I don't care what anybody says. We're not the people that are just going to attack them, because, you know, it's like people attack Trump. He's all bad. These people are not all bad. They're human beings. They have policies we don't care about, we don't care for, and they have personal things that are good and bad. Everybody does. So I think, Bill, why don't you look into Kamala Harris? You look her up for next week, and you're going to study about her, good and bad. And Jim, why don't you look into Cory Booker? Because we're here in New Jersey, and you can find out stuff about Cory.
What does Jack look into?
I'll assign Jack when I'm ready. Okay, when it's your show, you'll decide who decides to do what. I'll assign Jack during the week and give him a really good one. In the meantime, everybody, thank you for listening to Chasing Justice. Remember our sponsors, TrueSecurityDesign.com. Go take a look, and Disrupt Ed TV. Be a part of the solution, not a part of the problem. Thank you, fellas, for being here.